L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Hello, I'm Wendy. I took some time off, and now I have reconnected with an old friend, Verna, author of The Ghost Tales of Weston. One of her stories is about a haunted desk. I have my nightlights. Verna has her captain and his desk.
People coming into the store that let me know that I did have something attached to the desk.
This is how I met my guest, Verna. I knew her when she was doing the Ghost Tales of Weston, and she's got the book updated and refreshed with some of the current ghosts and activities in Weston, Missouri. And she also has become a novelist. The first one now is Apricot Jam, a love story. Okay, this is for romance readers, writers, authors. The thing I wanted to actually have you share is how you got started, because ghosts really didn't enter the picture. You actually had a crisis, and you were called to make some choices. So if you could start with that, I'd appreciate it. And thank you for sharing your story.
Well, thank you, Wendy. When I was 14 years old, Halloween, I wrote my first small essay. At that time, I stated to my friends that someday I want to write a book when I get older. Well, you know, you always put that on the back shelf, that that's one of your dreams you want to do. Going through life, having children, making a career, trying to provide food on the table, I finally reflected back to that point of life where I still wanted to write a novel. So I took a creative writing class many years ago and wrote an essay about the beginnings of this book, Apricot Jam, and my teacher told me that she needed me to expand on the story. Going through life, 20 years later, I got the old essay out and I thought, I can do this. And we were in COVID at the time, so we had lots of extra time to spend for ourselves. So reflecting back, I expanded the story. Now, you did say, with the trials and tribulations that I'd gone through, in 1995, when I was in that creative writing class, I realized I had cancer. So everything went on stop. I had to go through surgery, had to go through radiation and chemotherapy. At that time, when it was over, I told myself that I was definitely going to live my life to the fullest I possibly could, day to day.
The other thing that was told to you was that your survival rate, the chances for someone who had your type of cancer.
In 1995, the survival of cancer was 1 out of every 8 persons. And hearing that from the doctor really makes you devastated. Like, how many more years do I have to live? Well, 1995, it's almost 30 years ago. So I'm really proud of what I have done in those 30 years.
And then going back to, you made a life change, moved, relocated to Weston. It wasn't that you had everything all planned. When you talk about the story, the credit cards were maxed out, and this was like a last-ditch effort to say, okay, like a Hail Mary pass. Here goes nothing.
Right. And that's when I bought the desk that I now possess. And still right behind me. I feel like he's my guardian angel. I don't know if he has passed from character to character to character in my life or been seen as that character, but he's still with me.
Background on the desk, because this is a haunted desk. And did you know that?
This is a haunted desk.
When you bought it, did you have an idea that it was?
I did not. I found it in inner city Kansas City. I had worked in the inner city, Kansas City, as a restaurant manager, and I pretty well knew my way around in that area. And I brought it to my antique shop, which was just started, and it was just west of the big Kaikomo Ford plant. And when I brought it in at 2 a.m. in the morning, the police followed me. I said, what are you doing? They were afraid I was robbing the store. And I said, no, this is my store. I said, I've just been out buying things, and I want to show you. He fell in love with the desk, too. Right after that, I had people coming into the store that let me know that I did have something attached to the desk. I have never seen his shadow, but I feel that he's always with me, the owner of the desk. Are you ready for the history of the desk? A man called me. He had just had a heart attack, and he was trying to get out of the antique business. And I was trying to get into the retail part of antique business. And he had beautiful furniture for sale. And over in the corner was his desk. And he said he wrote his schoolwork on it when he was a little kid. He knows nothing about it. Through the years after I bought the desk, I've been able to research it. And now I know where the spirit has a gravestone. And it's in Texas. The first of this year, I went to pursue. And I had a wonderful reception. Found that he was the first mayor of a town in Texas, and he's very revered. Now, I do have to go back and do some more research on him because I was there when all of the legal offices and museums were shut down. So it's going to be a new adventure for me.
Do you feel like he's a character in the books as you've written this love story? And just curious about that.
Oh, I love that. I'm glad that you read my books, Wendy. He's not. He's definitely not. He's my guardian angel, but he's not a character in that book. Did you put him in the book as that character?
I was curious. No, the guy, the character is a little too evasive. The one in the book is just a little too much of a mystery man. I think your captain's one of those, this is what it is, no lie, kind of guy.
I agree with you, totally. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
It's a totally different story. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's room for that. Okay, but this is a three-part. I read the first one. I have heard that the second one is done, and the third one is on the way. Is it just three?
Well, I have my fan club, more or less, of people that love to read before it's published, and they said, no, there's got to be a fourth one.
Okay.
There's got to be.
Okay.
But the first one is Maria, the mafia princess, falling in love with a DEA agent set in the Kansas City metropolitan area.
Uh-huh.
The second one is, as you know, you read the book, she's on a trip across the United States in pursuit of where he's at. He's hiding.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one, she has a son that she does not know. And that was what the third book will be.
Okay. Okay.
Now the fourth one, let's introduce the son, because he is the legacy of the mafia princess.
Oh, see, there the plot just
right?
Okay, yeah. And that is fun, reading, since I'm, you know, familiar with the Kansas City area, reading and seeing the names, something that renamed it about 20 or 30 times, Sandstone. Sandstone was a concert venue, and it's when it became popular to each sponsor have their name on the venue, well, then Sandstone has become all sorts of different commercial outlet sponsors. Anyway.
I drove by that venue the other day, and I thought, oh my, memories. Oh golly, lots of memories.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've all went to concerts there.
With this book, there aren't any ghosts. Are there any ghosts in the series at all?
No ghosts in the series, nope.
Okay, well, we're going to switch.
Put something in my head, though, that I could probably bring back spirits in this book. I haven't yet.
Okay. I think there's probably room since you're talking mafia, you know, and where things are buried or stuff.
and the thing is, what inspired me for the first book was a tribute to old rock and roll singers. And I feel that if I ever recoup my costs on this book, I plan to donate to the Coalition for musicians that's down on their luck or in need of help.
You mentioned parrot heads in the book, so Jimmy Buffett.
Golly. Yeah, my heart broke.
Yeah.
We lost him, too.
He seemed like such a good guy.
Parrot head heaven. He seemed like he was so fun. And my husband and I had front row tickets one time. And it was so cold and so fun.
I don't know how you could not have fun at a Jimmy Buffett concert.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Ghost Tales of Weston. And you made a special trip because this is a cover that's a unique cover to Weston. And there is an amazing cemetery. I mean, some people are actually fans. They travel to see different cemeteries. One of the most amazing cemeteries I have seen is in Galveston. It's just very unique, has a unique atmosphere. I can't explain this. And I could all of a sudden understand why people would travel to see cemeteries. It just has an amazing character about it. And I had to take a lot of pictures because it was so beautiful. So same thing with Ghost Tales of Weston. Here's a cemetery up on the hill, which might have a few residents still in town. And it's a really unique place. You want to share, because you took a beautiful cover on the front of the Ghost Tales of Weston.
Thank you. And there's so many influential from the past gravestones and lots of interesting small tales on all those gravestones. You know, the city of Weston was established in 1837. And then we had the cholera epidemic. We were the only ones that would accept black people, indigenous people, in the 3-county area. And there were people that was buried in the middle of the night with no gravestone.
Unmarked graves?
They have estimated over 200 unmarked graves. But in the 1850s, we had a very bad cholera epidemic. So all of those graves could have been mass graves from the cholera, or slaves with no names. The population was small compared to the pioneer white people in this area at that time. So, you know, who knows, unless we dig them all up. We're not going to do that. It's a whole side of a hill.
Well, Weston is such a unique town. I mean, with the river, the way that it used to run right at the foot of Main Street, it's now 2 miles away. But that was a completely different town. The booming industry, I believe hemp was a major product, and that was before the nicotine cigarette.
It was a different type of hemp product, yes. We used to make it into rope before the Civil War. It was one of our leading products, and we shipped it all over the world.
Weston has so many stories, and the ghost stories, Daniel Boone factors into your ghost stories.
His great-granddaughter and his great-grandson lived in Weston, and he was instrumental of financially getting Weston started and helping with the manifest destiny of everyone going west for new outlook and new land.
Somehow I was thinking the Pony Express. Was it Bill Cody?
Pony Express was Waddell Majors and Reed.
Okay.
And they had started the covered wagons and the Santa Fe Trail going west. Buffalo Bill Cody, when he was 11 years old, asked Alexander Majors for employment because his father had just died from a stab wound from one of his unfriendly brother's employees. It was covered before the Civil War. And Alexander Majors put him as a walker on the back of his wagon trains going west. It's a very interesting story to read about Buffalo Bill Cody. Because after, 1861, when the Pony Express was established, Buffalo Bill Cody, in his autobiography, stated that he was too young to be a rider at the time. So he ponied the horses to St. Joe, where they went across the river and went west. And there was proof in all of our history that there was not enough room for the ponies to be at St. Joe because Major's largest company was close to Weston. And we had a boarding stable for those horses. When the 150th anniversary of the Pony Express film was being made, some of the filmmakers came to our town just to explore because they had heard about Weston. And I told them that I had read this in his autobiography and in history papers. And they said they could kind of understand why the ponies would be in Weston getting ready to go on their trips west. Mm-hmm. Interesting things happen in Weston.
One of the things, another thing, a piece of history, Abe Lincoln, the other Mary, not the Mary that he ended up with, but the other Mary was in Weston. Mm-hmm. And I like that story. She was the one who said, huh? No.
In the history books, when we were little kids, it was always Abe Lincoln would put his coat down on a puddle, and then she would walk across it. But she always thought, she always said that her family said he was not good enough for her because she was an influential Kentucky plantation family. But she married another man in the area and came west, settled just outside of Weston. Her husband was a merchant and helped the Mormons go west by giving them selling them merchandise to get ready for their journey. Then he decided he was going to go help fight the war, the Civil War, and he was on the Confederate side, and he never came back. So she bundled up her kids, brought them to Weston to live the rest of her life. And her house is in Weston, and it is in the Ghost Tales of Weston book.
A lot of tourists, especially regionally, come through Weston, and the Christmas tour of all the beautiful old houses is one of the most popular things, especially when you're there and the snowflakes are just starting to fall, and the character of the area is really a wonderful experience.
The ambiance, right. And several people open up their homes for tours so you can see what they look like, how they decorated them for that era. I haven't found out what homes will be on the tour this year, but it'll be the first weekend in December. You're right, it's beautiful. We have Father Christmas. He'll walk the streets as a Victorian Santa. This will be his 36th year to do so.
I've got pictures of him. I'll find one and post it on the blog. Okay, Verna's books are both available on her website. The website, WestonMainStreetAntiques.com. And Apricot Jam, that's the love story, the romance novel, the first in a series. We'll go with that. 1, 2, 3, and 4. And the other one, Ghost Tales, the Ghost Tales of Weston, with some updated information. A quick break.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Apricot Jam, and the Ghost Tales of Weston, Verna's books, available on her website, WestonMainStreetAntiques.com. Takes a special person to own a haunted building, or to work in a haunted building. You had three shops, three businesses, three buildings in Weston, and the cool thing about them is they're all haunted. You used to tell the employees who worked at the Main Street Galleria, this building is haunted. Do you have a problem with ghosts? So there's no beating around the bush. This is what it is. If you have a problem, it doesn't matter if you believe or you don't. Can you work in a place that's haunted? How did that go?
But they're friendly ghosts. You know, the Casper type ghost. We all enjoyed their annex. You know, a door would accidentally open and we couldn't explain why it was open. Things would be moved. We would smell different smells. I even had one of the spirits talked to me. Well, during that time, it scared me until I got to the point where, oh yeah, I know who it is. It's one of the ghosts. And you get more comfortable with them because you know they're always there, but they're always there to see that things are going right and just be comfortable. Welcome people there who accept.
I think I remember a story Linnell told about being alone and the phone ringing I can't quite remember the details. Do you know what I'm talking about when she was alone and she got a phone call?
She lives quite a ways away from here. She has to drive 50 minutes to get to Weston anymore. A few years ago, I think it was 3 years ago, she decided she was going to bunk down, stay overnight in the upper floor. That's where the dining area is. And she brought things to entertain her. I think she was going to watch a movie on her iPad or something. And she put her cell phone down next to her. And if I get this story right, she heard the main phone ring. So she tried to answer it. No one was there. Well, I had call forwarding, and it came to my phone across the street where I was living. And when she answered it, no one was there. Well, I tried to answer it also. No one was there. So she went back to sleep, and the phone rang again. And then she called me on, no one was there, so she called me on the cell phone because I had picked up the phone also. Well, middle of the night, I was wide awake at that time. I didn't know what was going on. And she said she understood that I was hooked into it too, but she wanted to make sure that I was okay. I wanted to make sure she was okay. So she laid the landline phone down next to her, and she laid her cell phone down next to her where I had just called her. And she said at one time the phone started ringing, and it was the store number calling her phone and her phone calling the store phone at the same time. And she couldn't figure out what was going on. But she knew that I knew I was aware of it. I don't know if I was involved in the last or not, but here she had two phones in her hand, looking at one and looking at the other one. So it might have been just been a fluke, or it might have been a ghost.
And there were times the restroom was a popular place when people would walk down the hall and someone passed someone in the hallway, and then there was no one else there.
Very true. And that was upstairs in the back.
Mm-hmm.
I think the spirit used to live as a human upstairs in the back. So that's where we had a lot of our activity. And it was the female ghost. Her first name was Creola. I even know my ghosts by names. And she was a very stern lady. She wanted to make sure that everything was put in its place and everything was clean and everything was correct. So we hope that the new business is starting there. We hope that Miss Creola is still there to help them out.
Yes, and still gentle.
And so gentle, correct.
Yeah, she haunts the kitchen.
She haunts the kitchen.
Okay, of all the stories that you have collected, is there a favorite?
Oh, golly. That is so hard. Of the ghost tales?
Yeah, of the ghost tales. Well, maybe even a personal one. You've had tons of experiences.
Okay. I was 14 years old. This is the one that's always in my brain at all the time. I was 14 years old. For Christmas, I had received an electric blanket. Well, it was cold upstairs in our bedroom. So I turned it all the way up, went to sleep. I woke up from a dream. And the dream was I was inside a fire, and there was a circle around me of the fire. And people were trying to get to me. And there was this one man, had a bowler-type hat from the 1920s. His socks went halfway up his feet, which finally I realized in style in the 1920s, they were called spats. And then there was another, he was trying to help me get out of the fire. But there was this lady that was standing on the outside of the fire, and I can still see her, still describe her today. Her hair was done up in like a Gatsby style. She had a shawl. She had a calico skirt, white blouse with some kind of ornament on the top of her blouse near her neck. I woke up, realized my electric blanket was really on high and I was so hot. I turned it off, went back to sleep, and never thought about it again until I would still have these recurring dreams. But then my father passed away in 1980. Well, there was four of us sisters, and my mother would not go to the bedroom because that's where my father passed away. So we were all in the same room, on pallets, on the floor, on the sofa, in chairs, trying to go to sleep. And the subject of ghosts came up. Well, we all of us in the family have always experienced a ghost in our house one way or another. I have older brothers, younger sisters, but I'm the only one in my era. My older sister is 8 years older than I am. My youngest sister is 10 years younger than me. So my youngest sister at the time was going to KU school when my father passed away. And the ghost stories came up. And I said, well, I always saw this ghost and my perpetual dream about being burned up in a fire. And I described what she looked like, what the woman looked like. My youngest sister said, wait just a minute, I have something to show you. She went upstairs to her bedroom and got a sketch pad. And she brought it down to show us a picture of her rendition of the ghost. The same hair, the same shawl, the same dress. And I looked at it and I said, the nose is not correct. It just doesn't look like the nose. And she said, I never could draw noses anyway. But there's an artistic quality in our family that we can do it. My brother was a professional artist, so we have the art there in our family. So that was one of my ghost tales.
See,
and
that's
then my father passed away.
That's pretty impressive that you both had the identical picture.
Exactly. And the older brother that was the artist, he would see the spirit, the woman, and he'd always tell her to go away. She wasn't wanted there. Never bothered him to the point that she was always there.
So he saw her actually outside of the dream.
All of us saw her. I was the only one that saw the dream of the fire. The rest of the family just saw her being present in the house.
Do you have any idea who she was?
Not at all.
Darn.
Not at all. I know.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Okay. Well, that one's pretty, that's amazing because of the details and because everybody had the same sense of her presence.
Correct.
So.
The whole family. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, in the ghost tales, they're just, there's something for everyone. There are pet ghosts because Weston has a few animals that are still there or have been there, have been seen. The children, there are children ghosts, some of them in the hotel.
Yes.
You can mention
there's
that
been
one.
A report. There's been a report of that ghost being seen again in the last few weeks, the little boy. And I heard he has red hair.
Sometimes when people come to town, they don't believe in ghosts and they end up staying in a hotel and they might not have even heard how they could miss it. I don't know, but you know, it's traveling. You don't always have chance to find out about the local stories. And then they end up having an experience and having to go around and ask everybody what happened. why me? And is this real? Because they question, you know, did this happen? But I think you were there for a lot of people who had their first sighting. And that was what I remember, people coming into your store and some of them didn't believe and all of a sudden they left very much a believer and not necessarily wanting to come back very quickly.
At times, right. And in my antique store that I have, I always try to be friendly with people that want to be friendly. And I said, did you stay last night? Where are you from? Where did you stay last night? You enjoying Weston? And if someone tells me that they stayed overnight, I'll say, well, where? Because some of our bed and breakfasts have been reported having spirits in our hotel. Well, our hotel is famous for having a spirit there. And he's kind of ornery, whoever it is. But there is a certain room, number 304, and people like to stay in that room. But then again, I get a lot of surprise looks when I tell them that place is haunted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Once you've had that experience, if you are kind of on the fence, then it gives you an idea of what other people might experience when they have an encounter with a ghost. I remember with the ghost stories, one of the guys who used to have, it was his daughter who worked at the St. George Hotel. And there were a couple places that they knew were haunted. And then the kids really didn't want to go there, but you know, you have to change the sheets or change a light bulb or something. I think one point it was about changing a light bulb where the light bulb burst. you know, just the kids in the town growing up around that, in that atmosphere, and knowing this is reality. I think that's a whole different experience when you're talking about paranormal.
When people want to accept it, yes. And just a few weeks ago, I had a couple, older couple, say that they stayed in the same room that they, that has been reported having ghosts. That in the middle of the night, man woke up and he said he saw a bottle spinning. Now, what kind of bottle? I don't know. If it was a wine bottle or what it was, or what kind of spirits were there. But you never know what people will experience in our town.
Yeah. I just think with you having had the stores and all of them having each having their own history and their own, that's a lot of what you do is collect tales and research the history of Weston. So, you know a lot about the area and the background, which is a bonus because then it gets a context for some of the ghosts. The O'Malley's, which is what, how many, six stories? It goes way underground.
The main floor is ground level and then there's five stories total. Underground. Four undergrounds, yes.
I've been in there. For me, it's kind of claustrophobic, but it has a history, and people do see spirits, ghosts there. When you go into a place like this, it has so much activity since the 1800s. It's hard to imagine life at that time.
Very, very true. And it used to be a very popular beer brewery back in the 1840s, 50s, and 60s. Kegs of beer would be floated down a creek and put on riverboats and go north or go south from the Missouri River.
Plus, that was when the river was much closer than it is now.
Right. Just at the end of Main Street as it dips down, it's right there by the old tobacco warehouse. And the tobacco was what helped Weston with their revenue many, many years ago. The last auction was in 2005. We were reported as the only auction house west of the Mississippi for tobacco. And, you know, everything goes by wayside.
It's a beautiful space and a wonderful town to visit. The thing I think is fascinating is the people that it draws to live in the haunted spaces. And there are some, there's one that isn't about the space. It's about a woman who, this is one of your ghost stories, who happened to find a beautiful doll, kind of a Marilyn Monroe-esque, the look of her blonde and this beautiful red dress, and she is named Nicolette. And Nicolette, the story Nicolette. Has changed since you first started years ago. We can't see her in public, but the story is still worthwhile.
But then again, there's those believers and the non-believers, and the son just was not a believer in the ghost story, but he knew there was something there. He knew that the statue had something with it.
One of the people on the tour said when she was in the store and working and she blamed the doll, Nicolette would trip her either coming up or going down the stairs. At the third stair, it was pretty predictable that Nicolette would give her a little kick, a shove, push, bump. And so
just to let you know, they're there.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. Just, okay. Pay attention.
Pay attention. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Life is too short. Pay attention.
So I'm curious that person didn't believe it, but the new owner, and she's gone to a private residence, and what kind of experiences, because it'll be harder to miss that in a house 24/7.
He hasn't reported anything strange happening lately to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's sort of a non-believer, but he knew that the statue was a beautiful thing to keep and not destroy. So I'm just waiting for that story to come someday.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That little kind of thing. Uh-huh.
That shoe will drop, okay, because she is a persnickety little girl. She has too much history to be completely and totally invisible and anonymous. I just, the stories that go, this is one of those that you see the haunted doll museum or the place that haunted artifacts with history. And like Robert, I believe that doll is in Florida. And you don't have to believe in it. It's just once you have these weird experiences, then you have to say, well, there's something to it. And I don't really want it in my house.
True. This is true.
Beverly, the town Beverly, there was an antique place up there. And I went to visit, and there, I felt compelled, called, guided to turn the corner and check out. And that, when I went there, there was a light in the booth, and it kept blinking, and it would blink. And I thought, okay, yeah, so, because I looked over and it blinked. And so I went over there, and there was this collectible Marilyn Monroe doll. And it's one of those gold dress when she was doing the birthday song for President Kennedy. I had that doll for a little while. She didn't act up with me, but she did. That was part of her getting my attention. I ended up putting her for sale. They switched the tags and somebody got her. And I thought, more power to you. because there wasn't any kind of a negative energy, but there was a sense that she had more to her. And the lights, the flickering light when I was there and blinking was her way to get out of jail. She took it. So, you know,
to travel onward. Yes,
not to be stuck.
But when I first met you, you always stated that I had a cookie jar that you did not feel friendly towards. And
no.
It was the old McCoy clown cookie jar.
Yeah.
You know, Stephen King has done a bad rap for clowns.
I didn't even know, I've never felt negative. I didn't notice, you know, that I had a feeling against clowns. It's just when I went upstairs and in that space, I was uncomfortable. And I'm thinking, and I attached it to the clown cookie jar and avoided it. I was like, okay, that, and I have been to places where I know that there are certain items that I don't want to take home because they have an energy with them. If I have accidentally done something and ended up with an energy, it will either break, I'll lose it. It's just, it has a way of getting away. That's, for me, the antique stores always have some energy somewhere. And there's
somewhere, right.
You know, we take it for granted, but some of these items have brought their owner or someone else with them, and there's still a presence. And so that's why I've always been drawn to Weston. As a matter of fact, before this latest, before I came to visit you for your latest ghost tales story, I kept getting on my computer. I had a sign and a picture that I had taken of the Weston Cafe. And it kept coming up in my history. I thought, what the heck? And I would, usually if I just erase the page, it's gone. Throughout that day, it kept like three or four times showing me Weston Cafe, Weston Cafe. I thought, okay, I need to see what the dates are and follow this. So that's when I went ahead and booked, you know, to come up and visit. And then it would not come back up. I wanted to post that picture to say, okay, this is going on. And I had to go back in and fine-tooth comb search to find that picture again because it wouldn't show it to me. So that's, for me, the way these kinds of things work. It was getting my attention. Once I completed the little project I was supposed to do, then it said, okay, yeah, and that was it. So it was that unseen element, that presence that can either be acknowledged as a ghost, as intuition, as spirit help, or just coincidence.
Or to keep us balanced in our life.
Yeah.
Yes. Getting back to the cookie jar, that was pretty well when I first started the antique shop, my first one in Weston. And I had to have consignments there to help me pay my bills. And then there's this one lady that had an area and had different things in it where that cookie jar was located. And she finally decided she was going to move to a different location. And she had a huge wardrobe. As she was moving the wardrobe out, she told me she had bought that at an auction. And ever since she had possessed that wardrobe, it had an unfriendly feeling to her. And she just didn't want it around. So that might have been the wardrobe that was carrying on to the cookie jar that carried on to you.
Could be. That's sometimes, you know, if I have a feeling like that, I knew that space where the cookie jar was, I did not feel comfortable. And since it had a face, you know, that automatic human thing where we attach things to faces, it was a cookie jar. No way. And I actually, for a while, collected cookie jars. Not that one.
Not that one. No.
I have happy cookie jars. So anyway, I can certainly imagine that the wardrobe would have an energy. It's just, you know, we take these things for granted, and there's so much of this world that happens all around us. And the reason I like your background, your history, your story, because this isn't something you actually intended to do. You were just, because of all the things, the upheaval in your life, you evolved into being the keeper of the ghost tales of Weston.
Correct. And if anybody has a ghost tale that comes about something that happens, they come to me. It's ironic. Last week, they came to me telling me that the little boy was back, and they know he has red hair. I thought that was so sweet.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, with a new series, because now you're a published author, with the Apricot Jam being the first one in this series, you're going to be at the library in Kansas City doing a presentation. So this is like you're launching your new career.
Oh, very much so. Mid-Continent Public Libraries and the book fair November 18th at the Woodmeath Center in Liberty, which is their story center. And I have been picked by the library to be one of the local Kansas City authors. I am so proud.
Yeah, yeah. And so anyone who is familiar with Kansas City, past, present, or future, might find something relevant and relatable in your stories of her travels, at least in the first book.
Very true. The second book's not in Kansas City, but the third book's going back to Kansas City. Yes. So we'd have more landmarks in Kansas City.
And I'm hoping you're going to continue with the ghost tales, because I don't think it has to be a certain time of year. Mm-hmm. There's so much more interest in this now than before, the entire time I've been researching it. It's just nice to see that people are becoming more aware, alert, and informed about the paranormal on all different levels. And people who have grown up in haunted houses, they already know it. They just don't talk about it because, you know, before there's been kind of a stigma or just that sense of, yeah, it's okay, but I don't really buy into it. And the more people experience it and share their stories, the more we learn.
They don't think they believe it, or they're told that they won't believe in it, that they've been chided in their life. No, it's not true.
Yeah,
it's
so
sad.
So that's why your book, with all of the legit stories of the legit ghosts in Weston, Missouri, is worth a read. Because it's the truth.
True,
the real
legendary
life.
Ghost tales. Right.
Yeah.
This happened to people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the fun part of it. One last question. The antique, because you also, this is your antique store. Is there a ghost there?
I've been told there's a ghost there. I've been told she has a white dress, the Victorian era. I don't feel her there, but my desk that has my ghost, Captain James, is there, and he's right behind me.
Yeah.
But he's been quiet. I think he's happy. Probably he's journaling or running his business or whatever he was used to be doing in his real life. But he's happy where he's at.
So when people shop, they can make a point of stopping at the desk. He doesn't do autographs.
No, it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard for him to do autographs anymore.
But he might tap you on the shoulder.
Very true. Very true.
See, I thought he pinched people and knocked things over when his desk was at the gallery, at the main street, up in the cafe. I do think he was responsible for a few little tweaks.
It's either him or the resident ghost in that building.
Bino.
Which are still there.
Yeah.
Bino.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a character too. Yeah, it seemed to be in the vicinity of the desk that a few things happened occasionally. And having done it for a few years, it was nice to see the reaction for different people when it was, you know, it's haunted. It has ghosts and they're here and
yes.
They're watching you eat.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So,
yes.
Is there anything you'd like to add?
We'll just have a happy hauntings, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we'll definitely be in touch in the future.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. So, and wherever you are, whatever time it is, ghosts don't sleep. Just remember that. You don't have to tell ghost tales at night. They are 24/7, and you might run into one.
And it doesn't have to be Halloween.
Links are in the description for the show. Verna's website, WestonMainStreetAntiques.com. Both books are available on site, The Ghost Tales of Weston and Apricot Jam. And you can connect with Verna on her website. Thanks for listening.
L-E-D-E-N-E-T. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.